And I'm just like doing all these things, going on different diets, trying different things, hiring my personal trainer, just throwing tons of money at all these things, reading books. Nothing was working. And it's because I wasn't doing the one thing that I needed to do, which is be honest with myself and make a damn decision.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, Kel Goodman.
What's up, people?
Guys, today we wanted to talk about a topic that I think that anybody that's been in business or entrepreneurship has struggled with. Mm-hmm. I know I have. You know, Kel recently made a post on Facebook about, you know, the fact that you have as well in some cases, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about vices, right? Different things that we use to try to survive entrepreneurship or business, mm-hmm. because there's so many different valleys. I would say there's more valleys than there are peaks on the path to try to actually get to the point of where you're successful. So in a lot of cases, we utilize things to, you know, numb ourselves or distract ourselves, however we want to put it, so that we're not really sitting in the pain, right?
I mean, I definitely say it's like a coping mechanism or just self-soothing, you know, escaping. What's that West dude on Instagram? Like the buff guy? It's all tatted up in prison. One of his things, it was like, you know, like every single one of you are using alcohol to escape something. You know, and that was a while ago I saw that, but, you know, and he obviously says it way more intense, but he's like, you're little basically pussy ass bitches because you have to escape reality to deal with your problems and cope and self-soothe. And so, you know, and you know what? Some people, I mean, flat out, they enjoy having a scotch in the hand or after a couple of a hard day's work or, you know, whatever it is. For me, I've just figured out over time, like, dude, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's not like casting judgment on people that like to have a drink in hand or they just thoroughly enjoy it or whatever it is. But if it is something that you're utilizing to escape, which Wes says it's always used to escape something, which in my case, that was reality, dude. It was like, I'm just escaping something, whether it's a marriage issue, whether it's a business issue, whether it's, you know, just relationships in general, like whatever it is, it's like, man, I just don't want to think about this shit right now.
Well, usually we don't lean on it when like we're at a peak or the happiest moment in our life. We're like, okay, let's add a drink to the happiest moment. You know, maybe some people do that. They pop the bottle and celebrate or whatever after they win a championship or whatever, and they're on a high. I really think it's important for people to become self-aware. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, because there are people that can smoke weed and they do it in a controlled way to where it's not really affecting them. There are people that can have a drink here and there where it's in a controlled way. For me, like, I don't really do anything half-ass, right? So it's like, I'm pretty self-aware to know that, like, if I'm starting to smoke weed and it's just kind of like a nighttime thing to just relax, then it turns into a little earlier in the night.
Yeah.
And then on the weekends, it's like, I wonder what it feels like in the morning. And then in the afternoon, and then it leaks into Monday, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday. And then it's just kind of like throughout the day type thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just my personality. If I'm doing it, I'm, you know, like when I chewed tobacco, you know, like it wasn't a dip. It was just a fat gagger every single time. Like, and I was probably wasting a lot of it, but it just felt cool, you know, to go hard.
Go hard.
Pain, you know? Yeah. And so the question is are you an individual that has the ability to control yourself? Or do you have like an addictive type personality where when you start dabbling with things that you're utilizing as a vice, it ends up, you know, turning into, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more. And then next thing you know, you're basically justifying everything that you're doing. Well, yeah, I did it yet. You know, it's, man, I had a hard day today, so it's okay today. Like we're anytime that you're using justification for anything, it's not right.
Yep.
You know, I'm reading the book Power versus Force, and it says truth needs no justification. It can stand on its own 2 feet, right? Like feeling good, you don't need to justify why you're doing something to feel good. That just means that there's something else lurking, right? Yeah. And we really wanted to bring, like, entrepreneurs. I know there's a lot of people that are high achievers that use, what's that pill?
Adderall.
Adderall. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are, they lean on Adderall to try to, because they feel what? They feel stress or pressure, and they feel like they have a lot of work ahead of them. So what do?
Yeah.
They find a vice.
They say sleep is for pussies, man. Yeah, I'm gonna pop some Adderall and I'll sleep for days.
Dude, no, thank you. I tried it twice, dude, because I wanted to get more work done too.
But I only say that in a Mexican accent because Key and Peele episode where he's like, "Chairs are for pussies."
Yeah, that was a good one. That was
one of my favorites.
Chairs are a vice for some people, you know. But food, even food could be a vice. You know, getting ice cream or a Coke every single day, mm-hmm. like. Busting into a soda. Like, I don't think that enough people are analyzing their decisions and saying, am I utilizing this as a vice? Because literally, dude, I love to have a Diet Coke every single day. It was just kind of like,
it would
just kind of put you away for a second where you can kind of sip on this thing and relax and really enjoy something, right? But are your vices actually good for you or are they bad for you? And that's the question, because I do believe that there are vices that are healthy.
Well,
like exercise is a vice, but you're improving yourself when you're removing yourself from a stressful situation, you're going to an environment that's making you better and you're releasing stress in a positive way. Right.
Yeah. And I like what you said, dude. It's just like really becoming self-aware. Because in our reality, man, a lot of people live with the mantra of like ignorance is bliss, man. Like, I don't want to know, you know, I want to do what I enjoy and I don't want to know. And that's all great. Maybe you're not feeling the stress or the shame that you put on yourself when you are self-aware. Like that's kind of the curse of self-awareness, right? It's like, shit, man. Like every time you do put a drink in your hand or a fucking burger in your hand or you go zone out on a video game because you're just like, I don't want to think about anything. Yeah. It's like, dude, when you're self-aware, like you know what you're doing to yourself and then you can obviously create some depression with the shame as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got ignorance is bliss where people are like, I don't really care, man. Like, I don't want to know, dude. I just want to enjoy life. Well, it's not very enjoyable when now you're 300 pounds and you have no fitness to you at all. And, you know, you only joy you get is some video games totally disconnected from reality or being drunk or just self-soothing with hamburgers and fries. You know what I mean? It's like at the end of the day, you know, like I don't want to be ignorant. I'd rather be self-aware and make decisions that are going to help me feel some sort of joy, which is really just keeping some damn promises to yourself once you are self-aware of it.
What happens, though, after you have the burger or the drink or smoke, you end up getting to a point where you're at a low place.
Yeah.
And so what do you want to do more of?
Yeah, you want to continue to get instant gratification, bro. Like, because that's the only time you feel good is when it's going in your mouth. Correct. Once it's in your stomach,
you're like, fuck.
You're like, oh, I feel like shit.
Yeah,
or once you're drunk and you're escaping all the reality and then you're like waking up the next day or, you know, whatever. Now you're just shaming yourself anyway, right? Like you're just depressed, right?
Yeah, I mean,
either you're aware of it or you're not.
I made a post today. I said depression or hangover. You know, which one is it, right? Like, do you have a hangover from all the bad decisions that you've made and it's put you in a state of depression? Because alcohol, I mean, again, you can have one or two drinks. Guess what? Your whole life's probably not going to be screwed up with one or two drinks or three drinks or whatever it may be. But if you have 5 or 10 of them, you're going to feel the effects of that the following morning, which is considered a hangover, right?
Yeah.
So it's choice and consequence type situation. Anytime we overindulge on anything, there will be a consequence, right?
Yeah.
And so if we overindulge on bad decisions, there's going to be a consequence, and usually it ends up being depression, right? It's impossible to make a lot of the right decisions and feel like that you're in a bad, bad place. But a couple bad decisions is not going to put you in depression, just like a couple good decisions isn't going to put you at this high, high point or a peak, right? Yeah. Like
it's not life-changing.
Yeah, everything has a compounding factor. Some things compound quickly, like 10 drinks, you know, and then you wake up, boom, and it hits you, right? Yeah. But like if I had one drink every single night, I'm probably not going to, you know, have a hangover every single morning that I wake up, and I could still get through my day. But am I utilizing that as a vice for something rather than just kind of sitting in whatever it is that I need to be sitting in so that I can learn what I need to learn so that I can grow from the problem or the issue? Right. Because I'm a big believer that the only reason why we're at a low spot is because there's a lesson down there, you know, to become more self-aware. Right. You know, you're supposed to sit in the low for a second, be like, how did I get here? But if all we're doing is getting to a low spot because of some bad choices, and then we just keep making those bad choices because we're now in even a lower spot, which is originally why we started making bad choices, because we felt low, and then we drive ourselves deeper into a hole, right? And then all of a sudden now we're in a hole. What do? Either face the problem or continue doing the thing that we did to try to escape that made it worse, right?
Lie to yourself.
Lie to yourself, you know, right?
That was my biggest thing too with the alcohol thing, man. It's just like, dude, I don't have a problem with it, man. Like, I go months without drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll have a little spurt, or, you know, I go on vacation or at a business event, and it's just easier to loosen up. And you become dependent on this because you kind of like who you are when you're like drinking, and you let the, you know, other personality come out. Maybe you're a little funnier or whatever. It's easier to strike up conversations. You're not as guarded, whatever it is, right? Like, all those things helped me with alcohol, right? Like, the alcohol helped me be, you know, be just loosened up.
A little
more
carefree.
Yeah, man. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, I was a fucking liar. You know, it's like, I was lying to myself. And then, you know, another big thing I'm working on, I've talked to you a little bit about it, is that No More Mr. Nice Guy book that my therapist told me to read. It's like, dude, you start hiding who you are from everybody, man. And alcohol just intensifies that for me, right? And so it's like, dude, I don't want to lie to people to hide who I am, who I really am, and just continue to escape, right? And so, because I don't want the real me to be exposed, like, maybe there's a dark, like, all of us have a good side and a bad side, bro. Yeah. All of us have a dark side and a light side, right? So you do anything you can to hide who you really are so that you can people please or try and get the validation that you're getting, whether it's from women, whether it's from peers or people that you want to do business with, whatever it is, right? And so, dude, you start compounding. You start compounding into a liar over and over and over again. Then you fucking lie about anything. It's really fucking easy to lie when you're lying, when you start with lying to your damn self all the time.
How can you feel good about yourself, have integrity and character, when the individual that you are can't even be honest with themselves?
Yeah. It's funny because you do all these great things in the world, right? And I'm guilty of this. You do all these great things in the world, and then you use those great things as a justification in order to discount the bad, right? Mm. And then if you get caught doing something in the bad, then you're just like, oh yeah, but there's all these great things about me. Like, don't look at this over here that I'm not proud of, or who I am, and this integrity that I'm, you know, continuing to lower and all this stuff. Like, don't look at this over here. Like, look at all the good things I've done. You use that to try and excuse like the bad, right? And so, and just another way that you lie to yourself.
I mean, even vice could be pornography.
Yeah.
Anything that you're utilizing to escape the reality that you're in is considered a vice, right? Really, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, I use exercise as a vice because it allows me to escape for a minute to go on a run or to exercise, and it helps me relieve stress. Some people, they might use church on Sundays as a vice to deal with reality, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to, are you utilizing vices that make you a better human to where you can learn lessons and go within? And at, like, when I'm out on a run, I'm with myself in my head, and there's a lot going on to where I can untangle things, right? Or because sometimes we do kind of have to escape reality a little bit like remove yourself from it so that we can analyze it. Because if we stay in reality a little too long, the problem is so close to us that we can't even see the problem.
Yeah.
And so are we creating environments to where we can separate ourselves in a positive way and reflect back on reality or some of the decisions that we're making, and utilize those moments as opportunities to gain lessons or grow from the situations that we're in? Because the human experience is, I mean, let's be real, it's far more about the lows than it is the highs, because that's guaranteed. Everybody will experience some form of depression or get to a spot where they're at a very low place.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily what you do when you're at a peak and you're feeling good. It's what you do and how you handle yourself when you're at a low place
yeah.
that truly dictates how your life ends up. Right. And I think too many people are utilizing negative things. In other words, if life is so bad or you're having issues dealing with whatever it is that you're dealing with, we're lacking dopamine, right? Yeah. And so pornography might make them feel good in the moment and give them that artificial, that dopamine hit yeah. where they feel good for the micro moment. But what happens is when you're using artificial dopamine, you end up getting to the point where you're dopamine deficient.
Right.
And then you end up, like we talked about, in yeah. a lower place. And yeah. so what do? You go back to the thing that made you feel good in that second.
Yeah.
And then you continue to become dopamine deficient because you're not really turning to something that's positive
yeah.
To earn your dopamine, where there's effort and energy that has to be spent in order to get it so that you actually feel good about yourself and you're getting confidence from the dopamine that you're getting, not necessarily putting yourself
yeah.
in a lower place because of the dopamine that you're getting from, dude, you know, random ass shit.
Spot on. So. I was reading one of John Hiley's posts not too long ago, and he actually shared like this study that he read, a bunch of details, and it was talking about a lot of what you just said.
Yeah.
But it was really like, men are becoming less and less productive because of pornography, because they're utilizing all the dopamine and all this stuff that, you know, could help them in their life in other areas
yeah.
to just escape whatever reality and just looking at pornography. And so he was like, he put a post out. I was like, guys, I'm telling you, I just read this whole study on it. It's all backed up with, you know, science and stats and all this stuff. He's like, if you're looking at pornography, it is making you less productive. And at the end of the day, man, like, we come here every day, you know, to work and all these things. So we're trying to build these amazing lives. Mm. And, you know, I'm just going to say it is okay to just like be okay with like you living in the shit that you're living in, because it's the only way that you're going to learn. Mm. But it is going to get to a point where you have to do something that's going to allow you to make a decision. This entire last year has been the hardest year of my life. Like, I've never actually felt depressed ever. Like, I've been in some funks, like, you know, yeah. always been able to battle out of them pretty quick.
A funk is
yeah, just a funk,
like
right?
a deep low.
This entire year, I'm just like throwing things to feel better, man. It's just like, but I wasn't facing reality, dude. So I'm like $50,000 to a doctor to get me on HGH and HCG and testosterone. And, you know, fuck, you've seen the list, bro. Yeah, it's a big old list thing. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, right? But dude, it wasn't making me feel better. Right. And I'm just like doing all these things, going on different diets, trying different things, hiring my personal trainer, just throwing tons of money at all these things, reading books. Nothing was working. And it's because I wasn't doing the one thing that I needed to do, which is be honest with myself and make a damn decision. That's really all it comes down to. What is one thing I can do to start feeling better? Okay, well, look at these things that I do, whether it's occasional, sporadic, whatever. How do I really feel in it? Just like we talked about, becoming self-aware and then leaning into it. When you become self-aware, it gives you the power to lean into the shit, dude, and just really become honest with yourself. And then when you become honest with yourself, then you can start making decisions to be able to pull yourself out of it. I started looking at things like, man, when do I really feel the worst? Oh my God, I really feel the worst every time I drink. Maybe not in that moment, but whether it's one drink or whether it's 30 drinks, I know I start shaming myself from start to finish, and especially the next day. And my funk of drinking, the depression, the downer, it doesn't last one day, 2 days, 3 days. Physically, I feel better after a couple days.
Yeah.
Mentally, I feel like shit for weeks, right? So I'm like, you know what, dude? I really want to feel better.
Yeah.
So it's time to make a decision. Every great leader, self or leader of others or both, you have to be a great self leader to be a, you know, a leader of others, right? You have to start with leading yourself.
Yeah.
It comes down to being able to make decisions, because everybody can sit around and be like, well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe that, or I like this idea and that idea, blah, 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 blah. And there's all this ideas going into the tank, whether it's you personally or a group of people. The leader is the guy that makes the decision and acts on it. Simple as that. And so I'm like, you know what? I can do these few things, which are going to be ultimate commitments. I'm not doing an annual goal. I'm not going to do, oh, for 2023, I'm not going to drink and see how I feel, because then it's just an experiment, man. You know, like, I'm going to make a decision. This shit's done in my life. I already have enough data to know I have been doing this for years and it doesn't serve me anymore. So I make a decision and I act on it. And I say, okay, I'm done. You know, and you know, I sat on that for a few days. I'm like, am I really done? No, I really am fucking done. And it's crazy how good you feel. It's pretty awesome how you feel when you feel liberated by something. Then you make a post, you speak it to the world, you tell your wife, you tell your children. It's something you can't go back on anymore unless you really just aren't a man of your word. And if you're not a man of your word, then maybe you need to start there, because I like to be a man of my word. So when I tell my wife and I tell my children, you'll never see me drink again, I fucking mean it, dude.
Yeah. Well, self-aware, we keep kind of going back to that topic, right?
It's a superpower.
it is a superpower. Yeah. Here's the issue with becoming, you know, self-aware, and the reason why, you know, you'll hear people like in their mid-30s or early 40s talk about self-aware, and you're not going to hear probably a 20-year-old talk about being self-aware that much. How can they be? They've changed so much over that first 20 years that they're not even the same individual. We obviously shouldn't be the same individual either, but the idea of becoming self-aware is really, you said, data, right?
Yeah.
And when do we have a lot of data based upon our decisions? When we're in about a mid-30s or 40s, we're like, yo, I've been an adult now for 2 decades.
Yeah.
Like, what decisions have I made that serve me, and what decisions have I made that don't serve me? And you could really start looking back on the data and extracting lessons from the data. The problem is if we're using vices or distractions, in other words, that's not going to allow us to assess the data that we need to assess so that we can become more self-aware, so that we have an opportunity for a greater result, right? I believe that low places or low periods or funks or depression or whatever, I think that that happens at the top of the current version of you's limitations, right? Like, we're at our current version and we're just kind of stuck there and we get into a low, low spot, and then we start utilizing vices. The idea is to not utilize vices and use the data, become self-aware, make tweaks and adjustments so that we could break through that current version of self into the next version of you that is a better version, right? And so, you ask, why am I dealing with the same shit over and over and over?
Yeah.
It's probably because you're utilizing the same vices over and over and over, and you're not really looking at the situation as a whole and saying, when did I perform the best and when did I perform the worst?
Right.
What am I doing? And really, there's the old saying, it's addition by subtraction. What can I subtract from my life
that's
holding me back so that I can go to the next level?
Yeah.
Because really, it's what we try to do is stack on more positive, and we have the same vices, or the actions are the same. But like you said, like, I'm reading, I'm this, I'm that, but then there's still the drink, right? And so it's like we're stacking positive on top of negative, right? And so it's at this standstill. There's just still the battle, right? And when you start, you know, deloading the boat, so to speak, what supplies do we need and what don't we need if we're about to sink, right? Yeah. Like, let's get rid of the shit that we don't need anymore that's not really going to serve us so that we could stay above water type situation, right? Yeah. And so, like, that's kind of how I look at it, is really the addition by subtraction method of saying, what can I unload from my life right now that's really holding me back? Because I do have, you said, I was looking at the positives, and so I was okay with doing the negatives because I could say, well, what about all these over here? Look on this side.
Yeah, I can be a shitbag over here because I got all this great stuff
I can do X, X, and X, and X. You know, I can look up porn. I can drink. I can smoke. Like, again, I'm not talking bad about it. There's plenty of people that smoke weed that do amazing things. An individual, Andy Frisella, you know, he's very open about it and says that's what he's probably an individual that's self-regulated enough to where he knows whether it's taking away from him or whether it's, you know, just something that he enjoys doing. Don't get me wrong, dude. I like an ice cream sundae like the next motherfucker every once in a while. Yeah. But I ain't going to Dairy Queen and getting a DQ Blizzy in my system on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, again, one bad decision isn't going to alter your life. But if you make that same bad decision over and over and over and over, and it compounds over the course of years, next thing you know, you're at a low spot and you're like, why am I at a low spot? As you're eating your Dairy Queen Blizzard or whatever that equates to in terms of your vice, as you're having your drink, contemplating why you're at a low, you know, cause you know, it feels cool, like manly to have a nice whiskey or scotch. Yeah. And just kind of sip on it and think, you know. But maybe the thing that you're utilizing when you're sitting down and thinking is the thing that you need to kind of remove. And then you just be with you. And again, just look at the data, become a little bit more self-aware, figure out what to remove from your life. And it is a freeing experience when you truly all out commit. When you're trying to decide, it's kind of like you're in this limbo phase of like, should I, shouldn't I? Like, that's a tougher place than just all out committing and saying, I'm done, right?
Yeah, you know, it is kind of a shitty thing when you're just like, oh, I want to. No, I don't want to. Do I want to? Nah, I don't want to.
Well, I've said some things before in regards to options. Limiting your options actually create more options for you later on, right? Saying, I am not going to, that's not an option for me anymore to have a drink.
Yeah.
So in other words, what you're doing is you're creating a better version of yourself to where down the road you have far more options just in life in general. Yeah. Hell, spending money can be a vice. You know, there's plenty of rich people that spend their way into the dopamine hits. And look at America just in general. Dude, look at America, the debt that the average person carries on their credit cards or this, whether they're buying the new pair of shoes or it could be small expenditures. It could be big spend. It doesn't matter. But are you utilizing spending in a way to escape reality to get the dopamine hit that we talked about that's unearned?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you have a $30,000 balance on a credit card, but yet you were barely getting by before. But because you're barely getting by and you're stressed, you buy that one thing that just makes you feel good because you deserve it because you're stressed.
Even if you have a lot of money and you don't need the debt, bro. Yeah. It's like, what are you satisfying when you buy an $80,000 watch? Or you fly private instead of commercial. Like, it's really you just trying to feel better about yourself. You're trying to portray an image to other people. You want them to see you a certain way, but you know the real you. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I was actually listening to Ocho Cinco in an interview, you know? What's his name? Chad?
Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco, you know? And he was like, dude, I fly Spirit, bro.
Yeah.
Like, why the hell would I go fly private? And I fly Spirit.
Yeah.
He saved 83% of his NFL salary.
Yeah.
You know, and the rest, the other, whatever, 17%, he lived off of, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, I don't need to spend all of that. Like, I'm out here doing this to make money and better my life. I don't really care what everybody thinks of me and this surface level shit that I'm trying to create. He's like, dude, how much? He's like, what time is it right now? And the guy's like, oh, you know, it's, you know, 20 to 6 or whatever. He's like, that shit's free, bro. Like, I don't need an $80,000 watch to tell me that, right? He's like, but dude, guess what? People already know because I've done the work on me.
Yeah.
People already know what I make, bro. It's public information. Mm. So are you doing it for women? Because women are already Googling me, dude. They already know what I'm worth. They already know what I make. Mm. He's like, so at the end of the day, like, I don't need to go fly private, bro. Like, I'm still going to pull babes. I'm still going to have people who love me for who I am by just being who I am. I can fly Spirit and still get all the same result that I could if I was hiding who I really was by flying private, buying nice watches, buying all these nice shit. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to go buy a Lamborghini. If you're into cars, you freaking love cars. Yeah. That shit makes you feel inside like what you, like you just love it. Like, cool, bro. Like, have the shit that you want in life, but don't do all this pointless shit that you just spend your money on to try and like create this different version of you or this other side of you that's just trying to get people to see you a certain way when you don't need to.
But that's the self-aware thing again.
Yeah.
Like, is the car really is it something that's meaningful to you because it was a childhood goal and you've been really stretching yourself, working hard, staying disciplined for 20 years, and then you finally did that thing?
Yeah.
Or are you stretching yourself to do the thing so that somebody else thinks something about you that you want them to think?
Yeah.
So with Chad Ocho Cinco, I watched an interview with him too. Yeah. And he said he lived at the practice facility. He just slept on the couches for like 2.5 years until one of the coaches kicked him out.
He's like, dude.
He's like, why would I? We're doing 2-a-days. This, like, I'm going to go pay for a place to live.
I got showers just here. Yeah, I got food
here. Like, all of it, and a place to sleep. And he goes, all my jewelry that I have on, it's all fake.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, I didn't pay a lot of money for this shit. But, you know, he had the chain or whatever. Yeah. But he's like, dude, I like the look of it, but yeah. I'm not going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for the look because to me, it looks the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so he's so self-aware and understands concrete what he's really trying to do with his life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's playing for real financial security, not playing for, I want you to think that I'm financially secure.
Yeah.
Right. Like a lot of us are playing for what other people think of us versus just, you know, what we think about ourselves.
Right.
Right.
Well, dude, even if you're a young guy, man, like you're working for a future. You know what I mean? And so, but somewhere along the way, you kind of get lost and you start really caring what other people think about you, because really at our human core, you know, needs is like, we want to be loved, man. Yeah, we want to be loved. We want to fit in. Accepted. We want to belong. And so we do all these things to try and feel loved and belong, but those things don't work, man. Like, so are you aware of the future you're trying to work for? Because if you are, then now you have a decision you can make. Well, am I going to be disciplined and fly Spirit instead of private? Am I going to buy a cheap watch or look at my phone when I don't want to know the time versus, you know, go buy an $80,000 watch, you know, because if you are doing those things just to try and be accepted or look a certain way, it's super unfulfilling, man. Like, but if you are like Chad, like Ocho Cinco, like, dude, I've been working my whole life for my future.
Yeah.
So I want to create disciplines that are going to allow me to actually make that future a reality that I have in my mind.
Well, NFL, it's, you know, not for long, right? Is what it stands for. So he doesn't know how long he's going to play for. How many athletes does he probably know that made a lot of good money and then went broke because they did all of the things that we just talked about? Now there are people that do fly private because they're self-aware enough and they have enough money where they're buying back their time. Yeah. Right. And they have the ability to do that because they're already extremely, you know, financially wealthy. Yeah. And now time is the luxury that they're looking for. They're not looking to spend hours in an airport waiting to board a flight or whatever it is. Right. Really, that's all we're trying to do is make enough money to where we buy back our time so that we could do the things that we love.
Yeah.
The things that fill us up, be around the people that we love and care about. Right. Yeah. And so, you know,
you don't need a six-figure watch, bro, because
to buy time,
when you literally understand that time is the luxury, time is the most valuable commodity, you don't need a watch to tell you what time it is, because when you've arrived, you don't care what time it is, dude.
Yeah.
You don't care what time of the day it is, because you're living the life of that you've created, and you're not living on time anymore. You're living on what I want to do for this day. Like, I don't need to know if it's 4 o'clock because I don't have anywhere to be.
Yeah,
you know, I've arrived.
You know, that's why I really respect people like Ethan that we just had on the podcast. Like, being as young as he is, whatever it was, mid 20s or something like that, expanding like he's expanding, but saying that he sleeps on the floor or a mattress on the floor still. Yeah. And every money that he's made, he's putting back into the business. That's an individual that's obviously not really that concerned about what you think about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have to have the biggest, the nicest, you know, I guarantee he didn't pull up in here in, you know, a $200,000 car.
Yeah.
He probably pulled in here on something that gets great gas mileage because he's driving, you know, 4 hours back and forth from Salt Lake to St. George over and over and over. So he's economizing, dude. He's building a life rather than, you know, building an image, I guess are the two different things.
Yeah.
Right. And when I decided that I wanted to become fine, I hated being broke and poor so much. And maybe that's his Chad Ocho Cinco's thing. He fears poverty so much that he's going to be disciplined in those areas. I fear, you know, being broke.
Yeah.
Like, that's a scary thought. As entrepreneurs, we go through so much headache, pain, stress, turmoil that, like, we have a season of life for whatever, 20 years or 30, and then to be 60 years old and not have really anything to show for it, that's like a scary thing.
Yeah.
And I would rather not give a shit about pulling up in a Lamborghini versus making sure that I'm good and my financial security is good for my family for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years or for however long, right?
Yeah.
And so are you making decisions that are positive in terms of your vices? Because we all need them.
Yeah.
We all need them. Yeah. Like, there's like, again, we talked about escaping reality for a second so that we can analyze reality, look at the data and decide whether we're on the right path or we're not. Yep. So there, we all have to escape it. Yep. You know, little kids escape reality all the time and they're in some sort of fantasy land.
Yeah, there's right? a lot of value in that.
There right? is a lot of value in it.
Imagination's amazing.
Is it in a positive way or are we escaping reality in a negative way just to numb ourselves from reality, not try to go somewhere else to make our reality better?
Right. 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 You know, it's true. It's, we've got pleasures of comfort, right? We're chasing these pleasures of comfort. So it's like when we talk about vices, it's like, what are the vices that you're willing to sacrifice right now mm-hmm. for, you know, a better, brighter future where you can have whatever you want to have, man. But like right now when people are like living so much for like outside attention, or they're living for to numb things or escape things. They're doing things for pleasure of comfort, right? And so it's like, it's pleasure, man, when you can just drink and escape your reality yeah. And then you feel comfortable in the moment. But at the end of the day, and I tried to put this in a post not too long ago. I don't think I wrote it the right way because I got one weird comment on it. I was like, I guess you didn't understand the post, man. Yeah. But, you know, like, dude, it's like comfort can be a great thing or it can be a negative thing, man. Like, it, like if you are finding comfort in these vices that we're talking about, you know, it, you're obviously just creating detriments to yourself. But I like the fact that like I'm building something and I'm working really hard on myself to build something amazing, to have the comforts that I really want, which is the comfort in knowing, the comfort in like knowing like, dude, I don't care what happens with the economy, man. I'm fine. Yeah. That's a comfort that I yeah. want. Yeah. I want a comfort that's like, dude, I don't care if it all gets taken away from me like I do, but I know I have comfort in knowing I can do it all over again, yeah. right? And that comes from you doing the work on yourself and being willing to sacrifice a lot of the pleasures of comfort that you want right now. Because the comfort that I'm chasing is a future one. It's yeah. a comfort of like, dude, I've got what it takes. I can outwork anybody. You know, nobody can beat my ass, right? Those are the comforts that I'm chasing, not those comforts. And that's why it was easy for me to make a decision and a and an all-out commitment of like, dude, that doesn't serve me anymore. I'm done with the comfort that something like alcohol brings me, right? Even if it's not a full-on addiction, it's like yeah. it's still bringing me this comfort to be able to escape the things that I don't want to deal with. And so I want to chase the future comforts of knowing who I am, what I'm capable of, and what I can fucking build no matter what.
When you're chasing those future comforts as well, like you're willing to go through discomfort now.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're thinking a little bit more long term. You know, when I was at a low spot, I had to think about what were the actions or habits that I had that made me feel the best.
Yeah.
And it was just literally body movement, right? Like when I move my body, I feel endorphins and dopa, like I feel good in my body and mind. Yeah. And that's when I decided to do the two-a-days for a year. And then like, once you're a year deep, you're kind of like, don't want to lose your streak.
Yeah.
Like, so it's kind of like a good thing and a bad thing. So then I was like, just like you said, like something that's big and scary, like a forever. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, dude, I'm going to do 1,000 two-a-days in reading yeah. every single day for 1,000 days, which ends like September 24th, 2024.
Hell yeah.
Which is a big commitment, but like I feel good in my body and mind. So yeah. like, why wouldn't I create situations or commitments, I guess, that allow me to feel good, even if I have to go through a little micro discomfort every single day in order to have the rest of the day where I just feel good with myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have more self-worth, integrity, character, and I just feel good in my body yeah. and mind, you yeah. know? So it's like individuals that are truly chasing real comfort are okay with discomfort.
Yeah.
People that just want like comfort now, you know, they hate discomfort and they try to escape reality. Like yeah. what that really says is you're trying to rush the process rather than just go through some of the discomforts that you need to go through so that you can grow into the individual that you need to become to create the long term comforts that Kel was talking yeah. about. Right.
Pursuit, spot on. So. I'm listening to a book on audio. I've got like 4 books I'm reading right now. I've got the Bible I'm reading in the yeah. morning. I got the No More Mr. Nice Guy. And then I'm also reading The Gap and the Gain, because I've been recommending that book several times. But the co-author of that book is, I'm going to pull it up real quick.
Ocho Cinco?
No, it's, okay. So Dan Sullivan wrote the book, but he wrote it about Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And Benjamin Hardy is, you know, he's just this dude that's had his, he's surrounded by entrepreneurs. He's had entrepreneur masterminds, all these things, right? He's been wildly successful. But he talked about exactly what you're talking about. He talked about, you know, I realized that I really liked watching television for the escape, right? But, you know, he liked catching up on the news. He liked current events. He liked, and there was good things and bad things of it. But he's like, I'm going to take 3 days off of watching TV. And he's like, once I did it for 3 days, I was like noticing, I was feeling a little bit better by just not watching television like I was. And I was breaking that routine. So I was like, I'm going to go 30 days. And then he got 30 days and he's like, I'm pretty sure I can do this for 3 months. And anyway, then he got to 3 months. He's like, I'm going to do it for 3 years. He got to 3 years. And now it's been like 23 freaking years. Dude hasn't turned on a freaking television. He doesn't want to break his streak,
bro.
Yeah. You know? And so like, he's like, now if my wife wants to go to a movie or something, I've done some of that. Not very much, but I've done some of that.
Yeah.
He's like, but I don't come home and watch television anymore. Now it's just natural for me. It's like, I'm not bogged down with the media. I'm not bogged down with the screen time. Cause there really is like, dude, you feel it when you're in front of a screen, even your phone all day, like it affects your mood, right? Whether you're, so whether you're a gamer, whether you're just looking at your phone all day, whether you're watching television, screen time really does affect your mood. It's hard
with you, but like you give your kids a phone and you take it away and you see how they act and you're like,
the demon comes out, man.
Yeah. The demons come out, you know? And you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely obvious when it's an outside perspective and they're young and they can't control their emotions, but it's like you feel that for yourself, maybe just not to that extreme, right?
Exactly, dude. But you're doing that, man. And I saw your post with the before and after, and I saw that you were going 1,000 days, and I actually thought about what I had just read in that book. And I was like, fuck yeah. That's badass, dude, because like you did it like 75 hearts, 75 days. And you're like, fuck that. I'm going to go a whole year. And then now you're like, I'm going 1,000 days.
It was 100 days.
Literally, it was 100 days. And I was like, dude,
I'm like, everybody could do 75 hard. A lot of people do. I'm going to just do it for 100 days. Yeah. And then after 100 days, I was like, I feel good. You know, and so, but like, I was like, okay, I still want to eat my wife's like enchiladas and shit. So like, I'm just going to commit to the 2 a days and reading 10 pages because I want to grow my mind and I want to move my body. Those two things I believe is the human design, that our bodies are built for movement and our minds are built to continue to grow. And if we stop feeding our mind with new or positive or good information, I think it turns on itself and then we end up having mental health problems, right? If we're not moving our body, then it's hard to feel good and strong in the mind, right? So I think that those two things kind of go together. But after 100 days, I was like, I don't want to lose the streak.
Yeah.
And so it shows a little
value
like
my, it too much.
I'm like, I want to, and then I was starting to analyze. I'm like, I'm just going to do a year.
Yeah.
Right. And then after a year, I'm like, it's now just become a habit. And it's like, part of my identity of who I like, this is who I am and this is what I do. And so I was like, like you said, do I really want to say this and do like the alcohol thing?
Yeah.
Like you kind of negotiate with yourself a little bit and like, should I, shouldn't I, you know, or whatever. And you're just like, it's a freeing experience to all out commit and just say, this is just who I am. And this is how I'm going to act. And this is how I'm going to show up in the world for myself. Right. And so I was like, dude, I'm going to do, because Andy Frisella talks about, show me your last 1,000 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, 1,000 days. I'll fucking call him out on his bluff. Let's see who I am. I'd like to meet the individual that I am after 1,000 days.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, it shows you the power of just small micro commitments. And then, you know, how those can turn into bigger ones because you feel better and you're more confident and you start biting off. Like, January 1 of last year when I started, I like, there's no way that version of me would have said, I'm going to do something crazy for 1,000 days.
Yeah.
But with self-worth and confidence and, you know, doing the right things and having data on yourself and say, I need to stop doing that. Like, I didn't have a drink at all last year. Right. And did these things. And all of a sudden now I'm like saying big, monstrous, scary things, but it's the big, scary things that really make you show up to your truest and highest potential. It's right. True.
Big lifelong commitments, man. That Benjamin Hardy, he says, you know, when after he did that, right? And then he was just like, fuck, 3 years, man. I don't want to go back, just like you're talking about. Yeah. So he says in his book, like, make a list of what are the things you're doing when you know you are being successful, right? And he's like, so he made his list after some time of obviously taking off the TV. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make my list. And so it's, I know I'm being successful when. And so I put, I'm waking up energized and ambitious. I know I'm on success's path when I'm waking up ambitious and energized. I don't like when I'm like, fuck, I gotta get out of bed, right? Yeah. Number two is using screens to be productive, not to fall asleep or check out. So if I'm using my phone and my computer, it's like I'm only doing it to do work on something that's productive. I'm not doing it to check out, like we've been talking about today. Yeah. Three is being present with people, laughing, singing with the family, joking around, right? Like I know I'm way more playful with the family when I'm living right, and I know I'm on success path. Number four is I'm following healthy routines. Five, setting intentions for each day. Six, paying attention to things that matter and move the needle in life, right? Because like a lot of times we're just not paying attention. Like I know when I'm doing things right and I'm on successful path, I'm like way more hyper-focused and paying attention to things that are like moving the needle for me, right? I'm willing to learn from others, right? So I'm not stuck in this box where I'm like, you know, like, fucking, well, I can figure it out on my own. Or, you know, like, you know, when you're like annoyed at people and stuff, it's like, even if they say something really like profound to you or whatever, you're like, whatever, that, like, you just want to do the opposite or whatever, cause you're annoyed at that person. When you're not living right, you're doing things like drinking, self-medicating, self-soothing, all that stuff. Like you kind of put that barrier up. So I recognize that in myself is like, dude, I'm way more willing to learn from others when I'm on success's path. Praying and meditating daily, looking forward to reading and putting knowledge in my brain. Dude, I hate when I'm just like, I got to read today because I put it on my freaking routine. Yeah. You know, like when I'm looking forward to it, I know that I'm like on success's path. And then number two, I just put having fun, man. Like I am not having fun when I'm doing all that shit. You know, I'm having fun when I'm on success's path. And so that was my list of 10 after reading the book. That's and cool. so, you That's know, really cool. I would encourage people and challenge people like, you know, like you don't got to go make some lifelong commitment like I did, you know, with alcohol and make a 1,000-day commitment like Trevor did with 2-a-days and all that stuff. You got to find what works for you. But you already do have enough data in your life right now to know, like, dude, when you were on a stride, right? Like there were some things that you were doing, whether it was like, dude, I wasn't falling asleep to the TV at night, or I was like, you know when you were on success's path. And so I would challenge people because you do have enough data already and you're going to update this as you go. Like everything evolves, man. Like everything evolves. And so you can't be so stuck on just one thing. Be willing to update it. But I challenge people, make your list, man. What are 10 things that you recognize when you're on success's path? Write it down, like put it in the forefront of your mind, because it's going to tell you real quick when you're off. When one of these things is slipping, it's because there's something I'm doing that's taking me off of success's path.
It really just comes down to put the lab coat on yourself and start, like that guy experimented with 3 days with no television and then experimented with 30 and this, like, are you making enough adjustments and experimenting enough with your life with the data that you have to create a formula that can, you know, be a successful recipe, right? Of how your life turns out, right? Like we already know, hey, if you want to bake a cake, you got to have the flour and this and that. Like what's your success recipe? Mine might be different than Kel's. The things that light him up might be different than the ones that light me up. That's why he has to put the lab coat on and look at his data. And I have to put the lab coat on and look at my data. In a lot of cases, success, there's a lot of similarities with body movement, reading, or good information or whatever, right? But there's going to be a few different things that light you up that don't light me up and vice versa, right? But what we're really doing is challenging you guys to really, I guess, assess your life. Because out of the, you know, 10,000 people or whatever that listen to our podcast on a weekly basis, you know, I would say, you know, 70, 80% are probably going through a struggle or something difficult or having mental health problems or feel like they're at a low place or depression or they're worried about something. You're less worried and have less fear when you feel like you're more in control. Yeah. And when you are the most certain being in your ecosystem versus worrying about what the ecosystem of the marketplace or a recession or this or that, like, become so certain in yourself because you show up every single day that you're just good with whatever, because it doesn't matter what's uncertain out there. You're so certain with yourself that this certain person can be in an uncertain environment. You know who you are. You know how you show up. And you know you have the habits, the actions, the routines of a successful individual. And there's still success with uncertainty, and in some cases more success in uncertain times than there is in certain times, because in certain times everybody's winning.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you can be certain in uncertain times, then you know you definitely have a leg up on a lot of other people. And really it comes down to getting the, you know, real estate down in between your two ears.
It's true, man.
And make sure that, you know, the phones or the pornography or the drinking or the smoke, whatever it is, like figure out what anchors right now are holding you back that you can cut off so that you can move at a quicker speed, and figure out some of the things that you did at one point when you were performing and then recommit and full out commit, reduce the negative options by saying that I will not do that anymore, and have that freeing experience for yourself, and then have the freeing experience of committing to some of these positive things as well. And then at one point you're going to identify like, that's just who I am. And this is how I show up in the world. Right.
Absolutely. So, man. Absolutely.
I think we crushed that. I think so. I ain't going to lie.
There's some good nuggets. Oh, dude, man.
I forgot to say that this episode was brought to you by Easier Accounting.
Yeah.
You know, we're back on top, bro.
We're back on top. Dude, we're crushing it for our clients. I know we went through a tough time, keeping up with scale. Right.
Yeah.
But like, dude, you know, like, we're not perfect humans, right? Yeah. Like, you know, we're chasing wisdom like the rest of people out there. And so we learned that, you know, we outgrew the company, and this, you know, like, you know, the ability to service our clients was not there with the manpower that we had. And and then, you know, we can blame it on all the challenges of COVID and people not wanting to work and hiring the right talent, all this shit. But the bottom line is like, we didn't prepare soon enough. Now we have, dude, we have an amazing team here.
Well, that's a lesson for everybody else too. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Prepare prior to needed.
Yeah.
You know, like, see you next week. You know, make sure you guys are leaving reviews though, for real, please. It is tax season. So if you have any, you know, tax questions, tax needs, bookkeeping needs, payroll needs, whatever, hit us up at easieraccounting.com. We appreciate your guys' support as always. Keep kicking ass. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.